Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
This Mother's Day is a special time for us to recognize these what I call special jewels to the human race in various ways. Time will not allow me to address all the ways which mothers are jewels to the human race, but I want to focus on that part that deals with mothers as the gifts that God placed on the inside of them. Wonderful gifts that God places in a mother, and that gift is a blessing not only to her children, but to humanity as a whole. The first gift I want to acknowledge is that mothers are gifts of grace. Mothers are gifts of grace from the Lord. You see, Genesis seemed to provide two repeated accounts of creation. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we find where the Bible say that God created male and female. He created in them and gave them dominion over the fish. So we see right there in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, there is an account of creation. But also in Genesis 2, verse 21 through 23, we see another account of creation where the Bible say that God looked and saw that man was alone and that he needed a helpmate. Now, God had already made Adam. He had already made creatures in the earth, animals. Adam had named all the animals. But here again is another account, because on this account, the Bible say that God took man, and when man was asleep, God took the rib of man, and out of that rib, from that rib, God formed the woman. So we see this particular order here. Now, here again, we go to New Testament, and we see also here in 1 Timothy 2:13, Paul said, Adam was formed first, but then who? But then Eve. So in the creation order, we see that God created what? Man first, and after man, he created woman. What is unique about this? The first miracle that is recorded in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, is where the mother of Jesus literally tells the disciples that whatever he say, do. And that miracle was when Jesus turned the water into wine at a wedding banquet. And when Jesus turned that water into wine, it was customary for them to always bring the best wine out first. So when people were about drunk, how many know they didn't know the cheap wine was there? And so when they got to the wedding banquet there, and all of a sudden they drank in the wine and everything, and all of a sudden when Jesus turned the water into wine, how many know everybody had already been drinking, the party was almost over. And then all of a sudden, the master there, he tastes this wine, and he literally is amazed, and he wondered, like basically, in I think John 2 and 10, the scripture says this. This is what he said. He said, everyone brings out the choice of good wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. Why? Because they don't know it's cheap wine now. But notice, but you have saved the best till now or for last. Maybe God created the woman after Adam because he was thinking, I'm going to save the best for last. I figured women would shout on that. Hallelujah. God specializes in saving the best for last. So, man, let's not boast like we were here before her. Maybe God was just saving the best for last. And if you stop acting like you're drunk, you'll realize she's the best. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of these wives going to go home today. I'm the best. And you need to sober up and stop acting like you're drunk. God is an amazing God. Now, even though the Bible reveals that Eve was the one that was deceived, not Adam, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we see where the serpent comes and deceives the woman. But before the day was over, say over. Before the day was over, you know what showed up in the woman's life? Grace showed up and declared that the seed of the woman would bring grace for humanity and defeat the devil. Grace of God showed up as soon as the woman was deceived. The scripture says it like this in Genesis 3:15. God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, she shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. I believe God took the best thing he made and let the devil know you can't stop the best. Hallelujah. See, the devil thought he had deceived the woman. He thought he had got an upper hand. But how many know God jumped right in her case and all of a sudden settled matters and said, I'm going to put a seed in her that's going to come forth in the earth, and that seed is going to bruise your head. Hallelujah. Am I in the right house? Man, God is an amazing God. And you notice in Genesis where it talks about these two different seeds, when it talks about the seed of the woman, it's in capital letters. So we look over again in the New Testament, Galatians 4, 4 and 5. Listen to this. The Bible say, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, what? Born of a woman. That is that declaration that God made to the devil. Hallelujah. The time has come now. He said it then, but the time has come now. That son born of a woman, born under the law to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoptions of son. Hallelujah. How many know that grace blessed all humanity? That grace that God placed in her is a blessing to all humanity. We are born again today by the grace of God. God is so faithful. Another good example is Mary. God put the gift of grace on the inside of this woman as well. In Luke chapter 1, look at verse number 30. Listen to verse 30 and 31. Then the angel said to her, this is Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. How many know God put grace in the inside of Mary? Why? Because he had already prophesied, he had already declared when he spoke to the woman in the book of Genesis that I'm going to fix this thing. How many know God can fix things for us? I'm going to change this thing. Even if you made a bad decision, I'm going to let grace come in your life, and grace is going to make up the difference. That's how amazing God is. Because so often mothers think, you know, especially when the children begin to act out a certain way and everything, they sometimes go in their mind, where did I make a mistake? You didn't make a mistake. You just got to trust God's grace. Somebody may say, well, how do I get this grace? Well, consider how Mary got this grace. In Luke 1:38, after she had got that word from God, the Bible says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me what? According to your word, and the angel departed from her. See, you can have the grace of God on the inside of you, but you're going to have to know how to receive the word of God. Mary had this grace on the inside of her. She had the seed of God on the inside of her, but then she had to put her faith out there. And even though she didn't understand it in the natural, she didn't understand how in the world can a person be conceive a child and they're a virgin. But she said, according to your word, let it happen. In other words, God, I may not fully understand it, but I trust you enough to say that if you said it, I believe it, and that's going to settle matters in my life. She didn't doubt God. She wasn't like Zacharias, you know, doubting God, and God had to what? Shut his mouth up. Out of her mouth came praise. Hallelujah. Because after that moment, how many know Mary began to prophesy praise out of her mouth? Get this, when we're speaking the right things out of our mouth, when we're talking like God, how many know God can release praise out of our mouth? He had to shut Zachariah's mouth down so he wouldn't mess things up. Why? Because of doubt and unbelief. But over here with Mary, she received the word of God, she trusted God, and praise came out of her mouth. Am I in the right house now? Mothers are gifts of grace from God. I like the way John 1:12 say, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, listen. Every person here today, you should be born again. You should be born again. Why? Because of the gift of grace that God has given us. Everybody in this room should be born. Every youth should be born again. You should know that you were saved. Amen. Not I go to church. Why? People just go to church. They just do that. But Jesus said you have to be born again. You got to know that you had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in your own heart. And I want to say to husband can't piggyback on wives, and wives can't piggyback on their husband's spiritual life. You're going to have to be accountable to God for yourself, build up your faith, get in the Word of God. Am I in the right house now? And I want to say to the men, as a leader in my home, it's almost like my responsibility to know this book, not because I'm a preacher, because I'm supposed to be a leader in my home. I'm supposed to be a spiritual leader in my home. My wife's supposed to know when it's trouble or something going against the family or something happening with the children, whatever, that she's got somebody there that know how to pray. So I want to say to the men, let's man up. Let's get in this book. Let's meditate. Let's memorize scripture. Let us pray. Let our family know that we pray in that house. Hallelujah. Your prayer area should be exposed so your children can come downstairs or walk in the room and find daddy on his knees praying. Am I in the right house now? Glory to God. Everybody here need to be born again in this church right here. Hallelujah. You without excuse. We ain't got a bunch of religion and tradition up, and we got the solid Word of God. Amen. So the Bible reveals that mothers are gifts of grace. Mothers, I want you to see your life like that, that God has put grace on the inside of me. Hallelujah. The second thing is that mothers are gifts of grieving. Mothers are gifts. Now, this grieving is not the kind without faith in God's word, but the kind that allows their grieving to produce garments of praise and power in their lives. Listen, mothers, and yeah, grieving is part of the journey. Suffering is part of the journey. But your gift of grieving is designed to draw you closer to God. Get this now, and get that spirit of intercession birthed in your life. When the Bible talks about intercessory prayer, it talks about it comparing it to a woman with birth pain. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed. He had preached to these people, but they hadn't got saved. So Paul said, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray like a woman travailing in prayer until what? Until Christ be birthed in you. Mothers, you want to see your children walking in the things of God? How much intercession are you doing in their behalf rather than gossiping and telling everybody in the family the negative things they're doing? Or even think, you know, people say, so, I just let something bad. Why? Don't pray for nothing bad to happen to them. Don't prophesy anything negative over their lives because you may be upset or because they won't let you control them. Let them go out from among you. If they want to leave, if they old enough, let them go and pray and intercede. God can take care of them no matter where they are in the world. If they go over in a foreign country, God can take care of them through your intercession. You can intercede. That's when they seem to be misbehaving and acting up, that's where that intercession is going to be birthed in your life. You're going to learn what it means to be a prayer warrior. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. Let's look at a witness. Let's look at Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here's a woman here that is in great grief, great sorrow, pain, suffering. It did not take her away from God, but it drew her closer to God. So the Bible said in 1 Samuel, look at chapter 1. Listen to verse number 4. The Bible said, and when the time came for Elkanah, this is Hannah's husband, to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would... Now, see, when you read scriptures like this, young people get confused. Wait a minute, how many wives he got? He got two. That's how they practice on the Old Testament, but how many know we can't practice that now? Can I help somebody? The Old Testament, they had practices that God did not ordain now. It was cultural practices. So when we read this, young people, and you say, wait a minute, he got two wives? Yeah, they had two, three, and David had a lot of them. Okay? But to Hannah, verse 5, he will give a double portion. So he gave one woman a certain amount, but he gave the other one a double portion. That tells you something about that one there, right? All right. For he loved what? Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also, that is the other wife, provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. See, Hannah wasn't like Sarah. See, Sarah ain't take that kind of stuff. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Sarah ain't take that kind of stuff, because when that woman start cutting up in that house with Abraham, she told her husband, you get rid of that woman and you get rid of that baby. I don't care if he is your baby. Get him out of here. Abraham got enough sense. He got rid of the woman and the baby. Sarah wouldn't have put up with this. All right, so you got to know your Bible to know what I'm talking about. All right, so verse 6, this other wife began to, you know, make mockery of this other woman because she couldn't conceive and all of this kind of stuff. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. So this woman is harassing her. Is every year she go up to the temple to worship, she got to go to church and deal with this cantankerous woman. All right, look at verse number 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, she's talking to Hannah now, why do you weep? He's concerned. He's concerned. How many know that's just a loving husband? What have you down today? Why are you looking like that? What's wrong with you? Why do you not eat? And why is what? Your heart grieved. How many know this woman is grieving? She's grieving to the point she don't even have an appetite. She's not even eating. And her husband is looking at her. Get this. He think he had the answer. And he said, am I not better to you than what? 10 sons? See, man, that's where we mess up. We think we can fix it. So he's wondering, what's wrong with you? I treat you so good. Get this. I take good care of you. What's wrong with you? There's something missing in her life that you can't fix, that only God can fix. Instead of you trying to fix it, maybe she just needs you to be there and listen. Be silent. So Elkanah just acting like a man, trying to do what? Fix it. So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in it. In the midst of all of her anguish, in the midst of all of her grieving, in the midst of all of her suffering, how many know she is still in prayer? So she prays to God. Then she made a vow. She not only prayed, she made a vow and said, oh, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come up on his head. In the midst of her grieving, in the midst of her suffering, she's not only crying out to God, but she's making a commitment to God. So when I looked at this in the life of Hannah, I say where her grieving led her, first of all, it led her to a commitment to prayer. See, mothers, when you are in that season of grieving, of suffering, of dealing with things in your life or in the life of your children, that commitment can lead you to prayer. Not only did it lead her to prayer, the commitment led her to raising a child in God's house. And she said, God, if you give me this child, I'll have him at church. And not only will I have him at church, I'll help him find something to do in the house of God. She made a commitment to God. And the third thing was a commitment to move forward in peace and a walk of faith in her life. Saints, she did not stay in this state of grieving. And come on down to verse number 17. Then Eli answered and said to her. Now here go the priest. See, the priest thought she was drunk at first. She wasn't drunk, but what? She was crying out to God. So in verse 17, the Bible says, then Eli, here's the priest answer, said, do what? Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman what? Went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Remember, she wasn't eating at first, right? But because she had received the peace of God, and because she got up and instead of standing there in doubt and grief and unbelief, she stirred up her faith. And now she's not only walking away with an appetite, not only eating, but get this, there's joy on her count. Listen, mother, God can turn things around through your prayers. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. She got her prayer answered, right? Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. For this child, notice she's giving testimony, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Remember, at first she couldn't worship. This woman is coming there, right in the service, doing what? Provoking her, trying to distract her from worship. Now that she have heard from God, she's praying, she committed herself to God, she received the peace of God. This woman is eating now. This woman got joy on her countenance. Get this now. This woman is in a state of worship. God turned things around. You see, mothers, when you have planted that seed in that child, all you got to do is water it. Let me say that. All you got to do is water it. It may not come when you want it to come, but all you got to do is keep watering. But Pastor, how do I water that seed? That child is out there doing all this. They ain't got to be right there with you for you to water that seed. Your intercession, your prayers, your wisdom, your counsel, your influence. Get this now. Your correction can change their life, can transform their life. You just don't give up and start speaking doubt and unbelief. I wrote this down. It's a mother's pain that produces her prayer life, and her grief grows her faith. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyron and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely, what? Demon possessed. So here again, this is a mother, what? Got problems going on in the life of her child. So she's demon possessed. That means she's behaving like devils. All right, it goes on to say, but answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She cried. In other words, the disciples said, she is irritating us. So they want Jesus to send her away. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house. If you know, literally what they were saying is, Jesus, give this woman what she needs so she can leave us alone. All right, he goes down to verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, what? Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughters will heal from that very hour. Listen, listen, saints. This woman's intercession is revealed in this text. She didn't just give up on her daughter. She went to Jesus. She cried out to the Lord, and Jesus saw what? Jesus saw her faith. Mothers have the gift of grieving, and this grieving will lead them to prayer and intercession for their children. It's one thing to birth them in the natural, but it's another thing to birth them in the supernatural. Let me say that again, mother. It's one thing to give birth to them in the natural, but then you also have to what? You have to give birth to them in the supernatural. That means you have to pray and intercede for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we claim the Bible say the seed of the righteous is blessed. Yes, the Bible say that, but guess what? We got a real devil out there. We got a real enemy out there. And if he can't get to us, he'll try to get to the next person closest to us and use it, mother. The next person closest to her is what? It's the children. Now, those who are married, your husband, but then the children are there, close to your heart, dear to you. They cause something happen in their life. I mean, are you going to do whatever it takes to try to get there? That's just being a parent. Am I in the right house? So listen, mothers, mothers are gifts of grace. Mothers are gifts of grieving. That's why you want to sow the right seeds. Look to your neighbor and say, sow the right seed. You want to sow the right seed, but sometimes our prayers may not be answered because we over here sowing negative seeds about somebody else's child. And when they're going through something with their children's child, they are interceding prayer. They need people what? To be praying for them. Get this. You can bring up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and those children can turn totally contrary from the things of God. They can be like that prodigal son. Sooner they get a little money in their hand, they like, forget you. How many know your children will treat you different when they get their own money? They can get arrogant. They can get cocky. I don't need you. I got my money. Then when they broke, can you give me some money? Am I in the right house now? That's what the prodigal son did. He got his little inheritance, got his little check. I'm paraphrasing. Daddy, you know, need y'all no more. Go out on his own. And the Bible says he went out there with riotous living. But how many know time will walk you down? That world will walk you down. When you out there in that world and you got your money, you think you got your buddy system going on, that boy woke up one day, find himself down there about to eat with the hogs. Thought about how things was at daddy's house. And the Bible say he came to his senses and remember, my God, look how low I've come down. How many know when the devil is bringing you down, you can't see how he's bringing you down. But that boy woke up. I don't care if you right there at the hog trough, just wake up. The Bible say he came to his senses. And when he came back to his father's house, he didn't come back home arrogant, like y'all better be glad I'm here. He came back home and said, Daddy, I don't even deserve to be up in the house like a son. I just want to serve out in the field. But thank God he had the right daddy. Daddy said, no, no, boy, you come on up in here. I got a ring for your finger. I'm throwing a party up in here. Why? My son that was once lost is now found. Hallelujah. Am I in the right house? That's the time to throw a party. Then the little boy stuck at the house all under daddy, got mad because daddy was being able to throw a party for his other son. But I believe that other son became a greater witness. Why? He knew how to go out there and tell the fellas, now I know what it's like to be out here in these streets. I know what it's like to be down low in life. I know what it's like to lose everything. But guess what? The God that my daddy raised me up with never left me. That Lord was there, and I believe that daddy and mama was interceding for that boy, and change came. Hallelujah. The greatest thing we can give our children to tell them, I'm praying for you. Sneaking them money all the time may not be the answer. Sometimes you may tell them, no, I ain't giving you no money, but hold on, I'm going to pray with you right now. Mothers are gifts of grace. Mothers are gifts of grief. And the last one is this. Mothers are gifts of greatness. Listen to this. Eve, despite her being deceived, grace made the difference in her life. She is often called what? The mother of us all. Mary is often called the blessed among women. A mother's greatness is not in who she is in the eyes of the world, but who she is in the eyes of God. See, the world would put certain individuals on the platform and on television and say they're great because of their accomplishment, but God does not look as man look. John 19, verse 25, listen to what the Bible says. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I mean, the mom was there. Something about mom is mom will always be there. Even we in our crazy days, mom have a tendency to be there. Not that dad don't care, but dad comes with a different makeup. You know, this thing called responsibility. Let him grow up. That's how dad talk. And children can understand that when they get older. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleos and Mary Magdalene, all these at the cross now. Jesus is on the cross dying. When Jesus therefore, now get this now, he's on the cross dying. But the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother in the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to who? He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. So in the midst of dying, in the midst of suffering, Jesus' eyes is focused on mama. He's focused on mama. He looks at mom and he say, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. You know what he said? Take care of mom. Make sure mom is comfortable. Joseph, his stepfather, had already died. And there we got Mary. So Jesus is leaving. And in the midst of dying, he said, do what? Make sure mom is taken care of. Make sure that the needs of mom is met. How many know Jesus loved his mother? Telling his brother and them, y'all make sure y'all take care of mom. And how many know that's how siblings should be? Make sure what? We take, not just one person, but all of us make a contribution. Why? Because she gave life to all. She birthed all us in the earth. And it's sad that sometimes in family system, you got the takers and the giver. But everybody should be willing to give to mom. But moms are gifts of grace. Listen, mothers, you're gifts of grace. God's given you grace on the inside of your heart. And when you're in that difficult season of your life, God's grace is sufficient. You're gifts of grieving. Don't feel bad when you're there and you're having to pray and intercede for that child. And sometimes mothers go that distant, man. They be willing to go ahead and keep making that sacrifice because deep down in their side, they're believing they're going to change. Don't give up that hope. Don't throw in that towel. Keep praying and interceding for them. And they are gifts of greatness. You may not never be in the hall of fame of the world, but you're in the hall of fame of faith because you trust in the living God. Let's give the Lord a hand for his word. Hallelujah.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.